if only believing in ourselves was like so very simple, it's not. And it is something that like 1 week, it's going to come super easily to us. Mm-hmm. We're going to feel so confident, so sure. Yeah. We're going to have really awesome interactions with our partners, with our friends, with our kids or our bosses. And then the next week, a coworker is going to say something super dumb and we're going to be in our heads about it all week. And we're going to have to keep coming back to like, but what do I believe about myself?
I did decide this season I would try to come with clean hair more.
Oh, I don't feel like your hair's been looking bad on the camera.
That's good. At all. Someone asked
or
me,
in life.
A real life friend asked me, like, so do you think your hair got less healthy since you've been sick?
Oh,
like,
my
is
God.
That why? In all fairness, she's a hairstylist. So like I know that she knows my hair.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. Actually, yesterday Becca did that too. She goes, oh, are those pants Amazon? And we were out already. I wasn't at home. I couldn't change my pants. I was like, oh, you don't like them? And she goes, no. They just look like cheap and sort of see-through. I was like, that's like when kids are like, so what's that huge thing on your face? You're like, oh, the pimple?
It's such a cute sequence of words. You don't like them. No.
No, they just look cheap. They just look cheap and see-through. I was like, so I can't change now. So, we are out of the house. 30 minutes from the house even. Mm-hmm. Like, but this will be the last day I ever wear these.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me know.
It was really funny. I didn't feel insecure. The only person I was seeing was Jody, and I knew she would love me no matter what my pants look like.
Thanks, so Jody. Fine. Good love.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, welcome.
Welcome to season 5 of Very Good Enough.
5?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Really?
Right?
That's amazing. Jessica, I don't know. It's felt like one long season.
I really think we just finished season 4, and now I'm scared.
I don't know.
No. This is season 5.
That's amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I know.
I wouldn't have known. The last one we did, you could have said that was season 2.
No.
That's so amazing.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Season 5.
Season 5.
I'm amazed. That's so exciting, guys. Yeah. Thank you for being here.
You're doing such a good job. You've been doing this.
You're doing such a good job. We haven't done this in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And so I even forgot pretty much everything.
Well, start with your name.
I'm Jessica. My friends call me Jess. My last name is Hover, not Hoover or Hover. And this is my friend Lane.
My name is Lane Dealing-Gerland. Good luck spelling
this. Yeah, good luck. And this is Very Good Enough, a podcast for parents from Very Good Mothers Club. Is that good?
Yeah.
I never say that part.
I know. I switched it. I wanted to see.
Wow, that was cool. This is the first episode.
So we figured we would just start today. It's been about a week since we've seen each other. It's been a while since we've seen you guys. So we figured we would save kind of all of our catch-up chit-chat to just be here with you all. I'm not really sure how this conversation is going to take shape, but wanted to just start off. Obviously, there have been lots of life changes.
Yeah. Also, Drake posted his privates on the internet.
No.
You didn't know that?
No. Why did Drake do that?
Oh, I don't know if Drake did it, but it is something that the internet's been talking about because I guess
someone else
he's really well endowed.
Sure.
But I never saw it, but that's what the internet's talking about. Maybe you guys don't know. Maybe I'm talking to the wrong audience, but I just know that everywhere I go, people are talking about Drake's missile.
Penis.
Yes. somebody, like one of his friends, I guess, like voice messaged him and was like, you're so talented. You got the voice and now we see you've got a missile. And then Drake was like, that might be an intro to one of my songs, that voice clip. So if you hear it, you know that's
I won't hear it. But if you guys hear it.
If you hear Drake's song, you're like, no, I avoid it.
It's not going to happen.
No, but I do. And then like other people are doing it. Some sort of trend. Maybe because it worked for their Kardashians. I don't know.
People are just...
are like accidentally, oops, this thing I sent to someone, now the internet's looking at it.
Wait, like for real or like how every time a woman, like a famous woman gets... what do they call it? It's like, it's not like porn attacked, but like, you know, somebody like leaks. It's revenge porn. It's something vicious.
There has been another porn attack in Los Angeles.
Like when someone releases revenge porn, it's horrible. And yet then there's always this contingent who's like, she planned that.
Right,
she was trying to do the Kim Kardashian thing.
I don't have TikTok, but I have friends who, well, actually I have TikTok, but I think I'd.
We all have TikTok.
Like I think if I went to touch it on my phone, it would do like the class.
cloud that has to like download
Absolutely,
it back.
Yeah.
Okay. But I have friends who love TikTok. Mm-hmm. And so what those friends have been telling me is that his attitude about it seems fine, but maybe it's because everybody's being like, whoa, Drake.
Yeah. Maybe it's because he's a man and nobody's scared of getting attacked.
Yeah. Porn attacked.
Well, some people are. I shouldn't say nobody.
Sure.
Totally, but less totally scared. Bad things happen to men too.
Yes.
But.
Yes. But in this case, it seems really like it's Drake only enhancing. Danger. No, it's only enhancing his reputation.
Fascinating.
Sorry, guys. I brought you here to talk about that.
I love it. But also. I love it when we talk about current events and I'm like,
Yeah.
Bobby, who?
I know.
Like somebody, last time we were talking about Drake, I also was like.
Oh, yeah, Drake.
I don't know what you're talking
That's
about.
That's funny. Yeah. And yeah. It's not even like I'm a big Drake lover, but Drake keeps making the news.
Well,
and
he's
then
very
my friends
famous.
Are talking about it. Yeah.
Right.
True. That's a good point. But I guess it's those body parts that make babies. And here we are talking to parents.
Talking to parents. So, speaking of body parts that make babies.
Yeah.
I just want to know how you're doing.
That was such a good segue.
Thank you.
I did find out this morning that I got approval for the next appointment that I need to do.
Okay.
That is genetic testing to find out if I will be keeping my ovaries.
Great.
We're giving up my ovaries.
Yes.
And I'm really glad that came because it's taken a few extra days. And of course, that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Everything takes a few extra days. And my surgery was postponed 5 days, mm-hmm. Which is just 5 days. But also it's just the whole nature of all of this has been like, oh, well, a month later, this long later. Mm-hmm. But they did say that they're making a note to not to move my surgery again. And I'm like,
great.
Guys, I don't trust you at all. I trust them to do the surgery when it's the time. I know that the person doing the surgery is very good at the surgery I'll be getting. It's just everything in between that's very hard to trust.
Yeah.
But so far that's what's happening. I have consistent pain every day in my lower abdomen.
Okay.
Like just even now, like sitting here, it's just like a dull achiness, which feels confusing because my cervix is all the way down yonder. And so I don't understand why this all aches. Becca was saying like, well, I don't know, maybe you've got like sickness in there. Maybe things just don't feel good.
Sure.
But yeah, it might be.
That's
but I feel like that plays games on my mind where I'm like, well, should we move this faster, guys? Like, why are we waiting? Everybody says like, good thing you catch it early. And this, I've been feeling like I knew something was wrong since September last year. That's when I first went in to be like, hey, could we check out what's going on here?
Yeah.
And then now it's February and surgery's in March. And I think everyone who's like very into the world of cervical cancer says like it really is typically slow growing. It really looks like you caught it super early. So I know that to be true, but I definitely have the mental like weight of waiting.
Yeah.
The weight of waiting is like kind of anxiety and stuff.
Of course. So, and if you can feel, it's one thing to like have odd sensations sometime and know that you're sick, but then you start to feel unwell.
Yeah.
Of course that like has big emotional
ramifications. Reminds you. Yeah. I'll have moments where I totally forget any of this is going on. And then moments of like, oh gosh, this is still going on. And what if, and that's not good. Mm-hmm. But the relief that I had, which I can't remember if we told them, is that I shouldn't need chemo. It sounds like everything is very localized. It's very early. I'll do surgery. The doctor made it sound like super confident I won't need chemo. It's just, I know that when they do the surgery, they also look around to make sure that everything looks fine. And so I think it's hard for me to fully be like, I will not need chemo because maybe I'm like self-protecting. I think it'll be harder for me if I super hold on to this idea that I don't need chemo. And then, when we did the surgery, we spotted this.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking I don't need chemo. It sounds like I won't need chemo, but we'll know after the surgery in March. Mm-hmm. And if they take my ovaries, then I'll go into menopause, which will be its own thing. So that's where this approval.
I have a question for you about that.
Thank you.
It's not relevant to you folks. I'm looking at you, but really I'm looking past you at my countertop where I have something for Jessica.
Yeah, from Danny, right?
But, yeah.
Nutritionist Danny, if you heard that episode. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I feel like on the one hand, I'm super relieved that we finally have a plan and things are happening. And then on the other side, I don't know that I can actually feel relief until we're really on the other side of the surgery.
Yeah.
And then,
So. Yeah. And how are you with like medical things, body things generally?
you know, like there's the sick part that's scary, but there's also like surgery, and surgery is a whole thing to go through. Like, so how are your feelings about that?
I have looked into what I'm getting, and if I'm not getting my ovaries out, then I mostly feel excited because it'll be a day of like so much sleep, and then because I'll be put under, and then like days of resting. And I actually think that sounds really nice.
So yeah. Have we ever talked about this like dark mom fantasy about getting very ill or being hit by a bus or something so that you get stuck in the hospital?
I know. And I have so many mixed feelings about that. And yet when I got the last thing where I had to be put under in order to even do the biopsy, I slept so good after that. And I was just in bed the whole day and I wasn't suffering because they gave me pain meds. So I actually felt like I was winning because I just was sleeping so good. And I know that this happens when people become moms, and it happens to other people too, but there's something where you become a really light sleeper. I think it's the instinct of like you have to protect your kids if something's going wrong. So my normal sleep, like the heat will turn on or something will happen in the kitchen that's just like a fleck sound. Like it can be nothing. And I wake up thinking like, oh, one of the kids, something. But after anesthesia, those kids could have been screaming for me. And I was like, somebody else will rescue you, babies. So
there's a whole other grown up here.
And he's very equipped. So funny. I'm looking forward to that. Now, I don't know what the actual, like, the day's playing out, if there's a lot of pain involved, or I also am sort of an antsy person to like get up and go. I'm sure there would be a point where I'm all done laying down. I felt that during pregnancy with Jules. I had to rest towards the end of pregnancy to try and keep her in. And I was like, no, but I want to go. So I'm sure at some point I'll feel that. But I already am like, think of all the journaling I can do. Think of the laying. Think of all the times that a kid will call for me and I'll be like, sorry, baby, mommy had surgery. And then I just get to lay in bed. Like, that sounds so cool. My gosh.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to it. And as long as I'm not going into menopause. If I'm going into menopause immediately after, this whole conversation is going to change. There'll still be a lot of journaling, but it'll be different. So we'll see. Not that I can't survive menopause, but I did read that surgery induced menopause is a beast. And so then you'll need anyway, we'll find out what I need when I take those tests and see.
And the tests are upcoming. Thank goodness.
I can call today and make an appointment.
Amazing.
So that's good.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
They don't know. Or maybe do they know that you – we haven't told them you don't have your previous job.
Oh, yes. So I lost my job a couple of weeks ago. Just due to some
–
need
things changing.
You know, finances. And the company I'm working for just needing to like shift their financial priorities, get some more funding. They're going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. We're just not going to be fine together any longer. Yes. So we are –
Transitional moment.
Ideally, I will put this episode out in about a week and a half and be like, us sitting there thinking my life was so uncertain when I'm now perfectly taken care of.
So certain.
But in this moment,
Monday
comes and we don't know what Monday will be like. We don't know. So I'm
how has that felt? Because I saw you the day after, saw her the day after, and you, I mean, we were at France Cafe LLC, so it's hard to be having a bad time.
Who could be sad at France Cafe LLC?
Which, by the way, that meal was covered by one of the Very Good Mothers Club moms. Yeah, she sent everything to cover it. I know. Thank you so Isn't that so
that
cute?
That was a beautiful gift that you gave, because that was a truly beautiful meal.
Said,
oh my gosh.
France Cafe LLC doesn't sell gift cards, so here's the amount to cover the meal. Yeah.
That is so
nice. I know.
I feel moved.
I know, me too. So anyway, so that was covered by Diane.
Thank you, Diane.
Yeah. When I saw you, you definitely were like, whoa, this is crazy. But you also were like, it's going to be fine. I trust it's going to be fine. I'm like believing that the right thing will come right to me.
I'm also How's the process so been? Good in a crisis.
Okay.
I'm so calm.
Okay.
In the moment of the thing, I'm like, Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, you're just bleeding? That's okay. We'll just take care of your blood. Like,
okay.
Very, very calm.
Okay. Amazing.
Oh, your parents are getting divorced? No problem. I'll just say nice and encouraging things to them and send them away. And
then I like your own parents?
You know, each thing in life. Yeah. So you get fired from your job, it's no problem. You take care of that person, you send them on their way, you unravel later.
Later. In your private space.
So it's been a process. It's been 2 weeks.
Okay. Has there been any unravel moments?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Lots and lots. And it's really interesting because my life has sort of proven to me that like when I need the next thing is there.
Yes.
Like I do actually fundamentally believe in my own protectedness and my own provision and that my life is building itself in the right direction for me. And that's proven really true with jobs. So there's a layer where it would be very silly for me to feel like deeply afraid because I would have to be living a totally different life for like the thing to not happen again, which is that like I find the next thing that I didn't even know was going to be the thing that was going to propel me forward.
Totally.
Like that's just that is what happens to me. And that part is not an affirmation. That's just literally like my history. So that underneath space has totally remained, like that floor holds. On top of that, dressed around that is all this humanity and all this like person feelings. And so it's been a long process and a little bit of a war between the part of me that like does believe that I'm like co-creating the best expression of my life with whatever makes the plants grow. And the part that's like, should I be on job boards? Should I be calling every person I know? Am I doing enough? Am I negligent? Am I lazy? Should I be taking something entry level and starting from the bottom? Because that's totally a process I know how to do. Like that's just kind of what I've done my whole life has been like, I don't want to finish college. So I won't be qualified on paper to like start things at a certain place. So I'll just start down here and then I will just like show them what I can do.
Yeah.
And I just keep doing that kind of over and over. I almost always start in a smaller space and then like everyone's like, whoa, you should be in charge of this then. And I sort of expand and fill up all the space that you give me like water. But I don't want to do that anymore. I'm 32 and I want to grow up from where I am. I don't want to do the thing where you go back down and then work up again. I feel tired of that. I feel overqualified for that as like a human growth inside and also in terms of like my hard skills.
Yes.
And so then there's so much like ego and fear in being like, well, you won't be able to represent yourself. You won't be able to represent all those skills. Like nobody's going to be able to see all the things that you can do. Like how can you put all that on a resume? You don't understand how LinkedIn works. Like people are just going to see you the old way again. And you're going to have to start at the bottom of the thing and then end up at the top of the thing. And then part of the cycle, and maybe I'll cut this out because I don't know how this is going to come out, but like part of the end of the cycle at jobs is me being like, well, I'm kind of doing a lot of like you, the boss's job already. And I don't want to be doing this level of work for you. I want to be doing this level of work for me. Which that's less true this particular time, though I do feel like, wow, I've really specialized in what I've been doing in this most recent job. And I would like to be doing what I'm doing here for me. So there's this
makes cycle so much sense
that I don't want to do again.
Yeah.
But I also do need my family to be provided for.
Yeah.
While we supercharge what we're doing here. Like until this podcast pays our rent.
Sure.
And until my coaching schedule is full and everyone buys my classes, which you can go do today if you'd like.
Sorry, which class? What class are we selling, Miss Lane?
You guys.
Tell me about your course.
I have a product.
She does.
I have a real life product again, which feels so good because speaking of cycles, I started my business Enquiry for the purpose of selling curriculum, like homeschool curriculum and preschool classroom curriculum. I was like designing and trying to put out this product and it went absolute nowhere. It's a very good product. Everybody who saw it was like, wow, this is so cool. Oh my gosh, this is so fun. People should totally use really great feedback. Like no people purchased that. Very few people saw that, frankly.
When was that? Like when in me knowing you, how long prior to me knowing you was that?
Maybe about a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. I think I had been working on that for about a year. Interesting.
Okay. I have a lot of friends in my life who have toddlers and those toddlers have tantrums and those tantrums make our insides like freeze. You sort of suddenly feel like you want to punch something. You mm-hmm. want to scream. You want to run. You're like, I don't know what's going on here. Yep. And the big question is, how in the world are we supposed to think about toddler tantrums? Mm-hmm. And we're looking for the answers. And oh, you taught a class. You taught two of them. I attended both.
You were the best.
And you are the best. And you recorded one of them mm-hmm. and now have made it available to anybody who wasn't able to be present for that.
Yes.
Where can they find it?
They can find it in the show notes. I will put a link in the show notes of the episode that you're listening to currently. You just scroll down a little bit and you click that link and you can find your way to it. It's a 1-hour digital course. You can watch it. You can just listen to it. It's just me teaching mm-hmm. to this wonderful group of people. It's $37. So it's mm-hmm. an easy, just like.
Love that number.
Packed absolutely as much as I possibly could of the things that helped me deal with the many, many tantrums that were happening all day in a classroom full of 2-year-olds mm-hmm. and like made that doable for me. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to be offering something that it's not like, I don't have any questions about whether this like works.
Yeah.
Because these are the things that sort of like saved me in the moments where I felt like I was drowning, because there was not only that tantrum,
yeah,
but like that one and that one.
Yeah.
And like, well, there's 3 now.
Totally.
And now everyone else is mad because of the sound. Like, and how do we get out of this moment?
Yes. And I think something cool about this specifically is that if they get the class, the course, and you guys listen and you're like, okay, great, great, great. But now I'd like to talk to Lane directly. I would mm-hmm. like to ask very specific questions about my very specific toddler right. and how she would handle it. You also are available now. You have more time.
Yes.
You're available for one-on-one coaching, which you have been, but mm-hmm. you haven't had this much time to put towards
it. No, I haven't really been promoting it because it's been like, gosh, I
hope would our love schedules to be would doing align.
More of yeah. that, and that would be amazing. But I really only have these like 2 hours on these mm-hmm. 2 specific days. Well, now I have lots of hours on lots of days.
Thank you for being so available for us for all of our questions.
What if I didn't have to get a part-time job, because we could just be meeting the needs of this community super directly, see. And I could focus on them and make more stuff for them.
That's one day.
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's plenty of us who have the needs and would love to process it with you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I believe in that for sure. The conflict you were describing in your mind of like, I have this one side of me that so believes the good will come.
Yeah.
And I look backwards and I see good over and over yep. and over. Needs met, needs met,
even
needs
better.
Met.
Like yeah. it's increasingly
yes.
better.
Yes.
The more things I've lost in life, the better my life has gone.
Yes. And I feel like that is something so many of us would relate to, is that sense of like, okay, in here somewhere, we have that really strong belief, mm-hmm. but at the same time, we have this other side that sort of feels like it's spinning a bit, where it's yeah. like, okay, so there's all these options. There's all these things I could be doing with my time. Mm-hmm. There's all these paths I could try to take and try to connect the dot from this to that to that. And then also the natural insecurity that comes up and the confusion. I mean, I just went through this too with our shop here in Los Angeles, needing to find a new location, realizing that we weren't yet bringing in the money that I needed to get a new location mm-hmm. in the area. And on the one side, holding to this thing of like, well, the right thing's going to come because it always does. Right. And because these people are so great and like, we got a great thing going here.
Yeah.
And then the other side being like, just the insecure thoughts of like, oh, but maybe you're not good at business and maybe mm-hmm. this actually isn't going to work anymore. And maybe mm-hmm. this is time to say goodbye. And you actually have to admit to people that you don't know how yeah. how to do the thing that you're mm-hmm. trying to do.
Yeah.
And just that like ping-ponging back and forth from like, no, that can't be right, but what if it's right? And oh my gosh, it's so exhausting.
Yeah.
And then you have to like really do like mental grounding or something to come back to like, nope, even if this is a pivot in my journey, mm-hmm. which I don't believe it is for you. And I didn't believe it was for me either. And thankfully now we have a new spot. But like, even if somehow something was changing, like curriculum was ending mm-hmm. and now we're going to switch directions, it is not going to be a chaotic disaster of a journey. It's going to be, okay, yeah. here I am. This wasn't a failure. I learned so much from it. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to take everything I learned and walk that into the next step.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's so we can all relate no matter what the things are that we're kind of going back and forth between
yeah.
the transition and the just when something doesn't go as we expect and now yeah. we're having to figure out what the new thing is. Mm-hmm. It's a lot on us. I was going to say yeah. hormones.
Because my period's going to start in 2 days. So
that for me, it's always like when I plummet into like despair, total despair, yeah. where I'm like, oh, I guess I failed at everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll just stay here under my covers.
Yeah.
And then the week after, I'm like, does everybody mm-hmm. want to hang out? I've got tons of vision.
I had a moment 2 days ago where I went over to that chair, which you all can't see, but it's this big, beautiful chair with like a back to it. Mm-hmm. And I just clung to the back of it. Aww. And I wept like a little baby, like when you just cry mm-hmm. on your mama. And mm-hmm. it's just like as though everything's over.
Yeah.
And then afterward, I felt so good.
Felt you know?
So much better.
Yeah.
Not so much better. I felt so good.
But it does. I think it's a natural painkiller, crying is. That's what I learned once. And the other day, Eloise was my sweetie pie 8-year-old who teaches me so much about life, was crying. And then she was like, I'm trying to stop crying. And then she was like, oh, but I think actually the crying feels kind of good. Mm. And I was like, oh, honey, it does. Wow. Just cry it out and then we'll recover.
Amazing.
I know.
The way that she externalizes her inside experiences.
I'm very lucky.
It's amazing.
I'm very lucky with that, with her words.
Yeah.
But it's exactly, it's funny to me. I'm like, wow, it's weird how like the stuff you go through as kids, which is everything you ever say, it's the same stuff we go through as mm-hmm. adults. It's just that the circumstances become like complex in right. a way that isn't the same.
Yeah.
But the feelings, all these feelings, they're so similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just it's total really, humanity.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So we're trusting that the right thing is going to come.
Yes.
We're also trusting that with this new time you have, mm-hmm. you're going to get to use these skills and yeah. tools and things you've created
yeah.
to serve the people that are already ready for it.
Yeah.
Wow.
What I'm excited about is like, what I am wanting this like new adventure that I have been launched into to be is sort of a redirection of all of my energy. Like the job that I just was doing, I learned so much that is very pertinent to the things that like we're doing and that I'm doing on my own, even that Connor's doing, but just in a different direction. So it was like I'd be over here facing this other way, learning, learning, learning. And then halfway through the week, I have to make this big shift in direction and focus and like switch categories over to this stuff. And so what I'm hoping is that all of that energy can turn itself into these things, whether it's like I'm able to take on a podcasting client or maybe work for a podcasting studio or like something that would increase my skill here and like my ability to help grow this for us.
Right.
Or perhaps do some work at a school or something with children that like pays you in a livable way. It's the thing about working with kids, you guys. I would go straight back to teaching preschool if I could live on that salary.
So many people wrote me about that.
Not.
When I shared on my Instagram, some of you guys saw it, like Lane's looking for work. She's open to stuff with children, but it has to be a livable wage. Multiple people who work with children were like, that's the big like dilemma is the lack of livable wage for the people who are doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's
totally, okay. So, but that's what you would prefer is a podcasting world or something parent focused, kid focused, something that can use these skills.
Yeah. It would be very cool to get some like actual real life kids back into my like daily life and be getting to just like be with them a little bit more directly. Mm-hmm. Cause that's just like on my heart level, like it's just a thing that's missing in my life in the last few years, though I don't get sick anymore. And that's good.
You're healthier. You're healthier.
So it's like, do I want to like work with grown ups and not be ill all the time? Do I want to be like fulfilled in my heart and soul and just be accumulating germs?
All the
from
moms
children
who are home with sick babies and toddlers are listening, like, that seems right.
I used to be sick a little bit always.
Yeah.
Just always.
Yeah.
That's... Now I'm sick never. Uh-huh. So, you know, there are options.
Pros and cons.
But who knows? Maybe it could go a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might end up being a little patchwork of things.
Cool.
And that could be great too. But it would be very, I would be very excited if the pieces of my life fed into one another a little bit more. Like that would feel really beneficial to me.
Love that.
Yeah. So maybe you guys will get an update the very next week being like,
oh, yeah. Ding, ding, ding. We look forward to it.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So am I allowed to take this in a direction just on this topic?
Absolutely.
Because before we started recording, Lane was talking about this idea of like believing in yourself. Mm-hmm. And then she pointed to her little wall art. Can they see it?
No.
Can you describe it?
Yeah. It's a little art print that I got in San Francisco of an alien, like a pretty classic, like green alien. And he's looking in his bathroom vanity mirror and the words on it just say, I want to believe in myself.
Yeah.
Which I thought was so cute. That, like, this alien is trying to believe in aliens, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that.
I love that about you. Yeah. And so you were saying that you would like to believe in yourself more?
Yes.
That's it.
Like, yes, I would.
Yeah, yeah. And you believe in yourself more now at 32 than you did at 22? I guess that's a question
definitely.
Mark. Okay. Because I would imagine you to be an also confident 22-year-old.
Yeah, but hey, super chaotic.
Okay.
So chaotic with like not a lot of direction. Yeah, I think I have some stories about myself that are actually probably from that time of being like, I'm flaky, I'm chaotic, I'm interested in this, and then I switch and I'm interested in that. I don't know how to put my weight behind something and press it forward all the way, or nobody taught me. I've never really seen anybody like be successful from like up really close.
Yeah.
I know how to work really hard, but like how do you see that go? Like I don't know what that looks like necessarily from like from the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, where the person is actually sitting there doing the work to like make something be super successful. I'm very proud of this podcast. I'm very proud of the duration that has changed the way that I believe in myself a lot.
I just found out we've done it 5 seasons and I'm so proud of us. I can't believe we've done that. That's you. You have done that.
It's like 65 episodes.
That's
or something.
Incredible.
It's a lot. Yeah, yeah, it's been really amazing. Consistent. I have managed this project through all this way, and I'm very, very proud of it. How to like make it become a thing that like really grows and scoops up lots of people and brings them along with us and provides for our life. Like all of that remains kind of behind this veil for me. So there's this feeling of like, but am I a person who can like succeed at a thing? And I've grown a lot in the last few years of being like, oh no, I'm a person with like real expertise, like and a unique expertise. Like there are other people who know more than me. There are other people who study more than me. But like the way that I have to talk about this one particular thing belongs to me. I really made this.
Yeah.
I pulled from a lot of things and have created something that is mine. And it really seems to be useful.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about that. So there's like – there are some like pillars being built inside.
Yes.
That I – are propping up a new kind of self-belief. But there's just so much to like, what does it like mean to believe in yourself, and how scared can you be and still be inside the bounds of believing in yourself?
Yeah.
And when do you get enough data that tells you like, well, you shouldn't believe in yourself in this way?
So maybe
I don't know what that all
there is means. There is a sense like this fear of like, I don't want to be publicly a fool because I so believe in myself that I'm doing something that everybody else is like, ooh, this is not your moment. I don't think you're at risk of that. I also this is funny that you guys are here for this because I feel like I'm just talking to you as my friend, but like there's so many skills involved in what you just described with the podcast, because some of being successful when it comes to a social media job has to do with things outside of our control. Sean and I talk about this a lot. We could make really exceptional content and the algorithm could do nothing with it. And we could, at the end of a day, we do sometimes feel like, oh, that was weird. Like that was so weird because the thing I made, I was proud of, I knew was good. And the people who are seeing it are telling me it helped. And yet the numbers are so small that there's very little like tangible reward. A lot of reward for us right now is the same for you, has to do with money. It's not that we want to be money obsessed, but it takes money to provide for a family to live in a house. And
it's a perfectly allowed thing to do.
But the reason why I'm specifying is because sometimes people do nonsense for money. You can do things that don't involve much talent, skill, creativity, but they can bring in a lot of money. And I don't know that that would do inside of you or me what we're trying to do through like this podcast, which is use our skills, use the education that we have, the heart for people to really help people. We want to use all of that and then connect the dot between this and what pays our bills. It would be so amazing. This is funny. You guys are really just hearing my friend talk.
I listened to another podcast where they just refer to the audience as eavesdroppers.
Oh.
the eavesdroppers.
That's so cute. Well, I think something sweet about this more intimate audience that we have right now, which is actually a growing audience, but it is definitely more intimate in the sense that like sometimes we'll have people get on our Zoom calls like each month or write us and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I know you. Like I know your husband's name. I know your baby's names. Yeah. So then when we're doing this and I'm picturing some of those listeners, Cleora, Capri, like these Savannah. People that we know, Savannah, yes, Manavi, like they could totally be in this room and I would say all the same things. But I guess it's this weird thing of like, I want this beautiful creative thing we're doing, which is involving a lot of you learning, a lot of technological, like, but how do you connect this to this? And what do you plug in? And where, how do you upload it? And where do you upload it? And what do you title it? Is this recording?
Yeah.
Okay. We got scared. Totally good. Is. It wouldn't be an episode if we didn't get scared. Time.
We talk about it. I'm like, but did I do it?
Yeah. So much learning has happened for you specifically to get to like 60 episodes, whatever we are right now, right? So much learning. And so it's a weird tension where we have to go, okay, well, one measurement of success is you've been consistent. Mm-hmm. You've learned all of these skills. You've shared everything there is to share. I mean, not really, because we have plenty of episodes coming. So there's still more. But there's that. And then there's actually like another skill set, which is growing a business and then growing this particular kind of business, which has a lot to do with algorithms and less to do with everything within our own control. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's part of just the mind trip of our own measurement of success is like, I've got to measure my success mostly from everything within my own realm. Mm-hmm. Like Sean will say that, like you can't measure your Reels success. Sorry, I'm talking Instagram for anybody who cares about that. My success of a Reel isn't did 2 million people see it, because that's not mine to control. I don't choose that. Mine was everything that I did to put it out. Did I do everything I do to consider this thing a quality piece of work? And maybe I don't even pay attention to the outcome. There is still something where I'm like, well, I'm not having a successful business if it's not paying for itself.
Yeah.
I might have a successful ministry. I might be helping a lot of people and that's sweet.
Yeah.
But if the money isn't coming in, it without emotion attached, I'm not saying like I didn't have a successful business, no, but like quite literally the business didn't succeed. But then there's also a separation of like, okay, well, it didn't succeed yet, or like the curriculum business wasn't a success yet. Like you're taking everything that you've learned and all of those skills and even the understanding of why it didn't work into this.
Right.
And even if this isn't the thing that we succeed at, that we're like, oh my gosh, this did it, there might be something after. Becca was talking to me about the show, the movie, The Newsies. Is that the Disney?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that it was like a big—
That's like my favorite movie when I was a little kid.
Okay, perfect. I didn't know that it was a big flop. I didn't know
that. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, me neither.
It has Christian Bale in it.
Thank you.
It's like baby Christian
Bale. But if you look it up, it was like, it won awards for being the worst movie. Yeah, it did not do well.
Crazy.
Yeah. And then I guess now it's like become a musical and Gen Z's like obsessed. And so now people are going back and watching the movie.
Wait, that's so nice. And
I know. But Becca was talking to me about it kind of in her own little rant about success of being like, isn't it weird that you can like have something and it can be a success, it can be a failure, but then it's also sort of a success to some people. But then, but like,
also, even if that movie flopped, you're still just young Christian Bale. Like, you still exist.
Yes.
You do other things.
But I guess even the director of it, like, won some sort of award for being the worst director of something.
Oh my God.
But then that director ended up directing, like, High School Musical and doing really great things.
Oh, yeah, it's Kenny Ortega.
Was that who directed it? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. But I guess our thing is like, it's not just confusing for you. It's confusing for everyone because also some people will say we're successful and some people will say we're a failure.
Yeah.
And some of it is just a matter of opinion.
We talk a lot about planting seeds also, you know, and to like have a winding road. Or I think I even earlier on in another season quoted the Wendell Berry poem, Mad Farmer's Liberation Front, where he says, be like the fox who makes more tracks than necessary, sometimes in the wrong direction.
Mm.
And, you know, the winding of it, it's not like you could be like, oh, well, I shouldn't have done that. Like, I shouldn't have been doing curriculum. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't have, you have to be out doing things in order for things to happen.
Right.
And obviously we're being like so specific about our own lives, but like everybody wants things and everybody's trying to do something or be someone. Like, we all have aspirations about who we want to be or what we want to see in our lives, whether like some of them are very simple and focused and some of them are very grand and some of them are like, I want to be all these things. Like, you know, like we all have our own need to believe in the thing that we want and in our ability to either become or acquire or attain or create that thing that we want. And I guess it's just like, where do you believe in yourself? Is this like in your mind, you build a case for yourself and then you trust that case? Do you believe in yourself out of like adjusting your feelings, believing that like, no, actually my feelings influence my thoughts and influence my behavior. Like, do I support my emotion? Do I just believe in myself at my gut space and say everything else, like be as splashy or flighty or twisty or twirly as you want, feelings and thoughts, but like way down here where my organs are in this like deep gut space, I just hold it. I don't know. Maybe it's That's all so the pieces. Cute.
I really like the way you think. It's like, it's so lame of you to be like, so, but is it in my head or my belly? Yeah. Do you know what it feels like to not believe in yourself?
Yes.
What is that?
It feels cold in sort of my chest. It definitely feels very like racing in my thoughts. I guess it feels higher up in my body when I'm not believing in myself.
Yeah.
There's like a temperature drop. You know how like when you miss a step and you feel like, oh, my stomach dropped, but that doesn't actually really happen like where your stomach is. It's just is that.
Yeah.
It's very spatial.
That's how it feels. Yeah. And what happens in your thoughts? What are your thoughts saying when you don't believe in yourself?
A lot of the time my thoughts think this could go somewhere interesting. A lot of the time my thoughts think that my faith is fake because it's not organized anymore. As we've spoken of many times, I grew up like pretty fundamentalist Christian, which is a very secure system. There are no holes in that system.
Yeah, it's very black and white.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of safety in knowing for sure. I now think that's not real. And that was a really scary decade of growing to think that that really safe, secure thing.
Yeah.
Slowly over time being like, I think this might not be real. It included some like real mental health. It caused some, some struggles to be like the thing I knew for sure, I now think is no. And it's not to speak to anybody else's faith. We're just talking about like my own.
But I think a lot of people will relate to that. This thing that you thought was so, so sure. Isn't sure.
Yeah.
Who am I now?
Yeah.
And how do I think about anything? I used to think about everything so this and that.
Yeah. And I'm like a pretty powerful believer. So like really that's the thing that I put the whole force of myself behind and have really ever since then been pretty cautious about putting the whole force of myself behind anything.
Yeah.
Because it's like, wow.
Yeah.
And I do think that for me that there's a maturity to that of being like, okay, I keep the force of myself inside myself. I interact with things. I'm a lot more moderately learn about this and consider that and let that piece in. And I don't dump myself into anything that's outside of me anymore. And that's it's much more moderated and specific and purposeful rather than just like full fire hose open of everything. Now my spirituality is pretty amorphous and my worldview is just like not as defined. There are things that feel materially true to me. But in terms of like my belief about what's happening, I used to think that somebody else was like dictating my path. And I think that I am now. And so I don't.
Like fully you are? I love this conversation.
I think that there's me and I'm really – I'm feeling really guarded about letting anything – define what the central source God
that's
space is. I'm just like actually really cherishing that being like a mystery zone for myself. It feels really special and really like happy and hopeful and wonderful to me actually to have that space be like, there's something. I wonder what it is. It's there's definitely a force that makes life happen, right? Mm-hmm. There's something material about life that or there's something maybe immaterial about life that we can't like materially wrap ourselves around. Mm-hmm. You can tell me how the plants grow. You tell me what nourishes the plants, but like, why does life do this thing? Yeah. We don't know. And I think that whatever that sweet force is totally on my side.
Okay.
And so I think I'm creating my life in conjunction with something. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a lot of exploration about what that is.
Sure.
But because it's so new and fresh, and even because it's so lovely, and partly even because it feels nice, mm-hmm. there's a part of my brain that's like, this is denial, buddy. Mm. You're just in denial. You're just making shit up out here.
Yeah.
Faking the funk.
Yeah. And you probably also have years of basically being taught like anyone who's doing what you are doing now is in denial and is making stuff up and is lost.
Yeah.
And so then you have this one part of you that feels very comfortable and very found, not lost. It doesn't sound like you feel lost. Mm-hmm. But then there is this other voice that would be very hard to overcome, which was mm-hmm. year after year of being taught that this is, that you can't believe in a love like this and a safety like this and like being held by whatever this is mm-hmm. that you don't have a name for.
Yeah,
that makes sense. That would feel especially confusing in a time that's vulnerable when you're like, I really need to believe in myself in order to take the next steps. Mm-hmm. That's scary. And now this voice is getting louder that's saying, I'm not even being held by the same power that makes plants grow, whatever the power is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what the thought sounds like a lot. It's a mm-hmm. lot of like, you're faking this, which mm-hmm. of course, like people like to call that imposter syndrome. There's like a lot of ways to talk about it.
Yeah.
But a lot of it hones in on like, you don't know for sure mm-hmm. about what the world is made out of. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's not real. And all of your time in meditation or visualizing or the spiritual side mm-hmm. of what I do think that I'm doing to create the life that I want. Like maybe you're actually just sitting there doing nothing. mm-hmm. And then do you deserve success? Mm-hmm. Should you just be there? That's another one is should you just be working harder? Mm. Like, shouldn't you just be, aren't successful people just like run ragged mm-hmm. and being like, well, I don't want to be that.
Yeah.
I'm actually not willing to be that. I think I work pretty hard and I have pretty good boundaries around like what's work time and what's not work time.
Yeah.
And then there's a voice that's like, you can only be small mm-hmm. if you won't spend your whole entire self.
Yeah.
Until you're like ragged. Mm-hmm. And then there's also little voices that are like, you're just getting old and you're just going to get fat and you can't be successful unless you're skinny and you're going to run out of things to talk about and mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
There are all of those little gremlins.
Yeah. I love talking about this because even though it feels like talking with Lane, my friend, and it is us talking to each other. I think anybody listening in identifies these voices in their mm-hmm. own life and it might look different for them, but it is really everything you just described. And even the one about success, like, well, I guess you have to run yourself ragged in mm-hmm. order to be successful. Mm-hmm. That's really a voice that has come from like the way the world has been.
Yeah.
And so it also makes sense that that would be in there. I'm going to say something and just like, just come along for the ride. Mm-hmm. Nothing here is weird. Everything makes sense. Great. Okay. So like, if we follow your train of thought a little bit, mm-hmm. what you were taught growing up is that the voice that is the God voice is the voice that looks at everybody else who's not doing the God thing mm-hmm. and is saying, that is fake, that is not real, this is what is real. Okay. So if you follow that train of thought, then what's happening is you denied the true God voice to choose this safe thing mm-hmm. that is more ambiguous at the moment without a name. I met someone who called it something. She called it like Jeanette or something. Oh, or like
nice.
Jean.
Nice
oh, Jean. Idea. Say, I'm just going to say this. According to this thought process of how you were raised, that voice talking to you, telling you you're wrong right now mm-hmm. is God's voice. Okay. Yeah,
sure.
Okay. According to this. Sure. Yeah. And I would like to argue that that doesn't even line up with what I know to be true about the God in the Bible who talks about like his kindness leads us to repentance. It's not Like, if that were even true, you wouldn't be met with a voice that's like, hey, you fool, choose me, you big dummy. So I also would like to say that I don't, I even am more comfortable calling the same feeling. I believe, like, the thing that I experience is a similar feeling as you, definitely not fundamental to whatever you grew up with, and definitely not what I was like a few years ago.
Yeah.
So there's definitely some sort of faith evolution that's happening in both of our lives.
Remember the first time we met, we were like, let's have a podcast, but let's not talk about
never
this.
Never talk about faith.
Had this conversation a year and a half ago. And we're like,
but even our conversation was
never talk about faith. Yeah.
But we were even in different places in faith then, I think, than now. Mm-hmm. I am more comfortable identifying the God that I believe in as a particular God that is not the God that you would call yours. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But I just want to say that, like, I don't think you're arguing in your head with God. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Which is what people in your life growing up with would argue. Whatever the thing is that we all hope is true, whatever this mysterious spiritual element is that makes our babies and feeds them from our breasts and makes the tree behind you grow, and that is a very loving thing, whatever that is, okay? And that power would be inside of you and alongside you and would absolutely be guiding you. And as you're talking, I'm like, so much of the earth is not black and white. So much of what it is to be a person in this world is not black and white and is very kind of magic, mystical, gray. It's not black and white. And I wish it was black and white. And it would be so much easier if everything was black and white. And it would be certainly a lot easier in raising my kids if everything was so very simple. Right. While this is the way, I think that would be nice.
Yeah.
It would make things simpler. And yet you have to live in a very small world in order for that to stay true. Because if you venture beyond your little circle of everybody doing it exactly the way you say it's supposed to be done, then it gets confusing because you find that the human experience is very complex for anybody. I really hope the same energy that made a baby inside my belly after like a sweaty, steamy moment, whatever that is, I hope that energy will also use my skills to create a paycheck that will feed my baby. Mm-hmm. But that's all just thoughts. I'm not like, this is an expert, Jessica, convincing you of anything.
No, it's very interesting. But like, that is what we're talking about is the belief here of being like, I hope that too.
You know, and I guess believing in yourself has to do with like, do we have to believe fully in ourselves, or is there any way of surrendering into someone who cares about us? Mm-hmm. And if there isn't, then you really do. We do need to cultivate even a stronger sense of belief in ourselves, which is important anyway. But if there is like fall back and I'll catch you, then it's like, okay, believe in myself and fall back and be caught. And then trust that where you are taken is where you're meant to be.
Right. Right. But then even the belief in something else, whatever it is, however it is, it's just,
yeah, whatever the thing is.
It can be so crippling to try and move forward because you have to just trust that whatever you're believing right now is like, I believe me enough to figure out something safe enough to move forward, you know? Because like, I don't know. I have to trust myself enough that I shouldn't take on your beliefs just because you think them
more or louder or something.
Or whatever. I'm like,
right.
On some kind of journey, doing my best to find out what there is and whether that's like what would be the best job for me, who's the right person for me to marry, should I have a baby or should I not have a baby? Is there something more catching me? Is that something a someone? Is that something just like the mysterious way that the universe functions? Like, I don't know. Whatever it is, there has to be enough self-trust to not be so paralyzed with the possibility that you're wrong, that you do nothing.
Yeah.
And so I think all of that does come back to this thing of like being a little alien looking in the mirror being like, I want to believe in myself.
Yeah. That was interesting because kind of what you're saying is like, I want to believe I'll survive whatever this thing is I'm about to do. Yeah. And so then it kind of sends you in a place of like, well, will I survive? Who will catch me? Will nobody catch me? But I think it's actually Capri said something. Hi, Capri.
Hi, Capri.
She said something one time to the group when we were talking about scary, hard things. Mm-hmm. And maybe her mom said it. I don't know. But just basically like you've already survived a lot of hard things.
Yeah.
Like not only did you survive them, you did quite well. Like mm-hmm. you on the other side of them. And some of us have really hard things we went through and we go, oh, I feel like I barely got through that. And that uh-huh. was really hard. And it's not to say.
Also, I fucked some things up in the middle of that.
I was going to say too.
So unwell. Like some of us make
terrible decisions. Uh-huh. I've definitely done that. And I think there is something too, though, being like, okay, a lot of the stuff I'm scared of or I'm unsure of, it's because of like worst case scenario. But looking back, we've experienced some worst case scenarios and we have survived them. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to hopefully, or maybe we're gonna soon, attach some meaning to those moments.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, cool. Here I can move forward from them. Mm-hmm. One of the things I like to think about for myself is like, if I can just get the ball rolling, it's easier to shift directions.
Absolutely.
If I'm stuck, it's a lot harder. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that's why I love the song on Frozen 2 where she talks about like doing the next right thing. That's mm-hmm. like my favorite song. And Wilson's like, but this is sad.
but
it's,
<buddy.
laughs> it's sad. And it's really true. You just do the thing you know how to do. Do the thing that's next. Do the last thing you knew to do. Like, what was the last thing we did that was working? Okay, I'll just do that until it becomes really clear what the next piece mm-hmm. is. And if only believing in ourselves was like so very simple, it's not. And it is something that like 1 week, it's going to come super easily to us. Mm-hmm. We're going to feel so confident, so sure. Yeah. We're going to have really awesome interactions with our partners, with our friends, with our kids or our bosses. And then the next week, a coworker is going to say something super dumb and we're going to be in our heads about it all week. And we're going to have to keep coming back to like, but what do I believe about myself? What mm-hmm. do I believe about myself? And it might even be like going to a loved one like, hey, could you remind me what you believe about me? I just need to lean into what you think to remind me. And surely next week I'll come a little stronger into that idea. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's looking back and going, okay, so I've believed I'm flaky since I was this age. And maybe I was flaky, or maybe someone just said it, or maybe I was just a normal young 20-something who didn't know where I was going. And my parents were freshly divorced and I was pivoting my faith, but I was at the very beginning stage of that.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure what I was doing. And all I knew to attach to that was the word flaky. Mm. But actually with a lot of empathy and compassion, she wasn't flaky at all.
Right.
And then you go, oh yeah. And by the way, I haven't been flaky for 60 episodes. You know, I haven't been flaky in this many years of marriage.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, cool. So that voice might still be there. You're flaky. And then you go, yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. I hear you.
Yeah.
You're fine. You're not true. You're still there. What is the true thing? Mm. And then we just keep going. And then, and then the week before our period, we crumble.
Yeah.
And then we come back to life.
Come back to life. Gosh, yeah. Yeah, I do think that's the best thing about not being 22 anymore mm-hmm. is having like a lot of years of evidence mm-hmm. stacked.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say like, but it didn't go that way there.
Yeah.
And it didn't go that way there. And actually went this way. And then it went this way again. And then it went mm-hmm. this way again. And there's just so much more to see behind you, so much more to look around
mm-hmm.
and be able to know about. And also, Connor does a really good job of just reminding me all the time that like you actually don't have to be brave. You can just do it scared.
Mm.
Like you can just
all
you
right.
have to do is send the email. Like you don't have to deal with how scared you are to send mm-hmm. that email asking for that thing. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is type. Like if you can just make your hands do the mm-hmm. thing,
that's
then
right.
it's fine if you're scared.
Yeah. Some of us don't have a long track record. I'm thinking of a few people I know who will hear this. They go, oh, but if I look back, I've actually been making a lot of mistakes lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was like really in the thick of an eating disorder and I was really trying so hard not to do it and I blew it.
Mm-hmm.
And a loved one said to me, you know, you're actually only one meal away from doing it right. And I was like, oh yeah, like I can start with that. So say we've been doing whatever the thing is that we really, really, really were trying not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we look back and we go, wow, my track record actually shows I am doing pretty badly in this. We're only one decision away from switching up our track record. And if we can't do it by ourselves, which most of the time we can't, then we rally the people close to us or find someone, hire a therapist, mm-hmm. hire someone if you feel like it's too weird to invite someone close to you to help. Yeah. But then we bring in somebody to help us make the decisions that we want to make. Believing in ourselves is so, it's like fickle, maybe because our emotions can be fickle. So like we have these core beliefs and we want to hold to them. And sometimes I actually will go through a week and I'll just be like writing throughout the day, like just write little notes to myself of like, no, but this is what's true about me. Mm. And just to like come back to it because my mind will take me weird places. Another friend, I sent her a nice little text. She had done something sweet for me. And she was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to take this text and save it to the me file. She's like, I have a file on my phone that I look at every so often to remind me who I am when I'm feeling off.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's a great thing. Like to believe in yourself isn't like, oh, you're either born with it or you don't. Mm-hmm. It's very much like, I might start the morning believing in myself. And by the evening, my toddler's yelling things at me. And treating me like she likes her dad more than me.
Right.
And I lost it. I don't remember what I think of myself. And then I go back to like, nope, this is who I am. And and she's three.
Yeah.
And he's a good dad. And I like this. And this all makes sense. You know?
Yeah. That's so smart. Sometimes you look at people and you're like, well, if I just had their confidence, well, if I just felt that sure of myself that I can make it.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, maybe some people are born with more of that or get more of it when they're little or whatever, but like it's absolutely a thing that you build over time.
Yes.
Like patience,
yes.
Like willpower, like intuition, like any of these things.
Yeah. Well, like and you build also, them from also,
little places.
Absolutely. And some people have a personality that comes off very confident and good for them. They should. But I have found just, this is like a huge generalization, but you do end up with people who are super, super confident, but maybe not as good in one-on-one conversation or not as in tune with the dynamic of the room. And so there's also something to like you and I both, but I'll say you because I'm your friend and I can see you. You're very good at connecting with people deeply, at empathizing, at feeling the feelings of the room and being able to speak to it. Mm-hmm. And so then naturally with all of those emotions, it might be harder for you to separate the emotions and pull out the confidence and be like, nope, today I'm just confident. You are confident. You have every reason to be confident. But part of it is just you're very strong in the emotional connection of people. And so then I would imagine that could lead to, I mean, I live it. So some overthinking we do where we're like, but what about and this and that, you know?
Yeah.
Some people are really confident, but they're like a little mean, but like super confident. And I love that. Just like accidentally rude.
We all get something different.
We all have something.
But we can all grow.
Yeah.
We'll all be more build confident in a direction and kind. That we need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whew, this has been a journey.
Yeah.
A real journey. I feel like we've been talking for a very long time.
Yeah. This can be the whole season. We just split it into little chapters.
Just 6 minutes over the next 10 weeks. Yeah. I missed you. I missed doing this.
I missed you.
It's like a real absence in my life, us getting to just
look at us. This
be
is
here.
Funny.
Be with them.
Are people going to be offended? Who's going to be offended?
Oh my gosh, who's going to be offended?
No, people are still offended that I got Botox and fillers. Still.
Oh my gosh, people can fucking suck it about that. Also, I'm not cutting swear words this season. That's my announcement. I'm going to let there be a little E next to our podcast because it takes too long to cut the swear words.
And we started by talking about Drake's nether regions.
So those people can suck it because it's your face. Ugh.
Yeah.
I could talk about this for another hour. Yeah.
It's funny. I'm not, by the way, I don't think everyone should go and get Botox and fillers. So it's just in case you're new to this and you're like, what is she promoting? I think you should do whatever you want to do to your face. And that's beautiful. But I was also just surprised.
So Jess should do whatever she wants to her own face because it's her face.
I've just been surprised.
And she's a grown up.
Over months like, now. The comments keep coming. I'm like, you guys, are you okay?
Yeah.
This is by the time you keep commenting, it's all worn off.
You don't have it anymore.
It's gone. It wears off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's so funny.
My goodness.
Yeah. But it's right. Building courage and confidence in me to just like be myself and know that I'm going to offend people. And that's just what it is to be a person.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys feel free to write in whether you're offended or not. And just know that what I have is a folder on my computer of anything kind that anybody ever sends me. All the DMs, any of the sweet things that anybody says, I just screenshot those and I put them in a folder called Kind Words. Good. Because I know that as we do grow, because I do believe in this project, yeah, and I do believe in this community, and I believe in you, and I do actually believe in me.
Yeah.
On most days.
Yeah.
That there are going to be some haters, so I'm preparing.
Yeah, yeah. With it's a good stash sign of kind when there's words. Haters. I've seen haters on the internet come back and apologize. So I'm like, whoa. All right, cool. We can all change. Okay, you guys are the best. Thanks for being here. Welcome back to the podcast, and we'll see you soon. Next week is a really good one.
Yeah.
Really good. Don't miss it. Okay, bye. Bye.